Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's also interesting to me that Mitch McConnell, and I don't know exactly what this means, Steve, maybe you do better than I. Senate Majority Leader, I'm reading from CNN, Mitch McConnell, is expected to hold the final vote to acquit the president should he be impeached when a majority of senators believe that his trial has run its course instead of holding the vote on dismissing the articles of impeachment. What's the difference between holding a vote and concluding that the president's not guilty?
You know, I saw that. I didn't look at it too closely, but I think they might just say this. That perhaps they have an option of it being presented to them and them saying this doesn't merit
right.
a trial, so we're going to dismiss these charges.
Exactly.
Toss them out of court like a judge might.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what it sounds like, which I guess doesn't change the fact that the president would have, quote unquote, been impeached in the House.
Right.
You could say, but the Senate never convicted him. Bill Clinton has that luxury. maybe it's a little better to say, not only was I not convicted by the Senate, they threw it out.
They dismissed the charges. Right.
So I guess you got that going for you. Pete Baker is a senior White House correspondent for the New York Times, and he joins us on WGN Radio. Peter, this is John Williams on WGN in Chicago. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. My colleague Steve Bertrand and I were just wondering what the difference between not being convicted by the Senate, that is, the Senate doesn't convict the president, and Mitch McConnell dismissing the charges outright. What's the consequence of that?
Well, the truth is the dismissal outright would require a majority. And I think that Mitch McConnell knows that he's not going to get all of his Republicans on board to simply dismiss it outright. So what he wants to do is actually have enough of a trial that the Republicans like Susan Collins in Maine and Lisa Murkowski in Alaska, those who would insist on having at least some consideration of the charges before voting on them, once they're satisfied that there's been a trial or at least enough of a hearing of the charges, then they might move to a vote that would ultimately acquit the president. As a practical matter, you know, that's just a matter of politics, which one the president could say it was dismissed outright or he could say it was acquitted. Either way, he stays in office for the rest of his term, assuming that's what the vote will be. And then we write it out on the campaign trail.
Is there a head count among Republicans? I mean, I'm surprised that they all wouldn't vote en masse to dismiss as soon as Mitch McConnell asked, or for that matter, that they wouldn't convict. Is there some vacillation among Republican senators?
Yeah, there's a handful of Republicans who are nervous about this and who, you know, not likely to vote to convict him, but also not likely to do something that would be seen as dismissing it out of hand. The Republican leadership is most worried about, as I mentioned, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. There are other Republicans like, obviously, Mitt Romney, Ben Sasse, and others who have been critical of the president over the years who might say, even if they're not willing to convict him, they want to make sure they've given the process a chance to play out rather than looking like they're not taking it seriously. So Mitch McConnell has to worry about losing more than three votes. He can only lose, actually, two votes because he has a 53-47 vote majority in the Senate, and the vice president, we believe, cannot vote and break a tie in an impeachment trial. That's at least the interpretation of some of the scholars we've talked to.
So I understand. If there is a trial in the Senate, do the Republicans get to call Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, or the whistleblower?
Well, that will be up to a majority. If there's a 51 votes to do that, then they could approve that. That's for sure. But again, I was talking with some Senate Republican folks, and they don't think that's likely. They don't want to do that because they don't think they can get a majority, 51 vote majority for that. There would be Republicans who would be very uncomfortable with calling Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. One Senate Republican told me that they're more likely to call Mick Mulvaney or John Bolton than they are to call Hunter Biden or Joe Biden. But that will be something the president asked for. He could put enormous pressure on them to do it, and we'll see, you know, if they were to agree with that or not.
I was debating with some friends whether or not the president would like to talk to the Senate and make his case. Any whispering about that?
He's talked about that, or he's tweeted about that in the past, that he suggested he might want to do that. You could imagine him finding that appealing. He is at heart kind of a showman. He likes to get out and make his own case. He likes to fight back, as he says. So I wouldn't rule it out. It wouldn't be the thing his lawyers would want him to do. I think his lawyers would throw themselves in front of the motorcade and let it run over them before allowing him to do that. Remember, during the Mueller investigation, he said repeatedly, yeah, I'd like to talk to Mueller. I'd like to go in and give my case. And the lawyers basically talked him out of it, and he gave written answers instead.
They were worried that he might perjure himself just because he's so off the cuff, accidentally or intentionally. And if he exactly. were to stand trial and actually be a witness on his behalf, while the Republican attorney would ask appropriate questions that they had coordinated, then the Democrats would get a turn, and that would be where the peril is, right?
Absolutely. No, he's not somebody who's, as we know, he's not somebody who's very disciplined and sticks to a script all the time. He's also not somebody who's known for being, you know, completely forthright and factual and honest about everything he says. So I think that if you're a lawyer for Donald Trump, why would you do that? Especially because you already know you have the votes in hand,
right.
absent some sort of change in circumstance we don't anticipate.
And is there any change that nobody's anticipated? I mean, so we have these two articles, and we've witnessed the bickering in the House, but there have been no real bombshells. In fact, the two charges are rather refined. So there's nothing extraordinary that we didn't anticipate yet, right?
Well, there hasn't been anything that certainly changed Republican minds or changed the public dynamic that we've been now seeing for the last several weeks. The public polls all pretty clearly show a split American public, usually in around 49% for, 47% again, something like that. Pretty close, by the way, to what the popular vote was 3 years ago. It's really interesting. It kind of tells us that the country is really in the exact same place when it comes to Donald Trump that they were in 2016. Somewhat more Americans don't want him to stay in office, but a substantial number do, and those numbers are basically similar. And that's, I think, of course, important. As long as those numbers don't change in some dramatic way, Republicans are not going to feel any need to convict him. We have not seen a bombshell, as you say, that's convinced Republicans to change their mind.
And so we'll all come down to the Ukraine. I mean, forget the Mueller investigation. Forget about the 10,000 lies that he may have told or whatever else you don't like about Donald Trump. It's, was that phone call improper? That's really what this is all about, right?
Well, it comes down to Ukraine. You're right. They have put aside a lot of these other issues that have been debated and explored over the years. The Mueller instance did not end up making these two articles of impeachment. There was a big debate among Democrats behind closed doors about that. Mueller, of course, did not find enough evidence to charge a criminal conspiracy with Russia, but he did outline 10 instances that he said were possibly obstruction of justice, and some of the Democrats wanted to put that in the articles of impeachment, and they decided not to. They decided to be more restrained or conservative about it, stick to a narrower case, as you put it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's an interesting choice on their part. It does come down not just to the phone call, though, I think, to a whole series of actions that are at stake here in terms of the pressure campaign on Ukraine. You may say they weren't impeachable or they were perfectly innocent, but it goes beyond just the one phone call.
Yeah, I think it's funny you say there's no bombshell because everything's always a bombshell.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a transcript of him asking for a favor. In every other world, that would be a bombshell.
Yeah, it was a bombshell, certainly, when it came out, but it obviously did generate some criticism even from Republicans, but it has not changed the dynamics in terms of removing him from office or, you know, calling, you know, charging him with high crimes and misdemeanors on the Republican side.
Right.
Remember, of course, Nancy Pelosi once said it had to be a bipartisan thing for impeachment to be successful, and she has a point there because you need a two-thirds vote in the Senate. You can't get there unless you have both parties on board.
Well, they're going to say that the president of the Ukraine said he didn't feel pressured and that the money did get transferred. I know the complications with that, but that's a resonant timeline for people, even though it's flawed for others. But I imagine for a lot of folks, that's going to be sufficient defense, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, the argument you're hearing today, the Judiciary Committee, Republicans saying you don't have a victim because the guy himself, Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, says he wasn't pressured. And he didn't even know that the money was being withheld until later in the process. And the money did go through. Now, what the Democrats are saying is, yeah, the money went through only because the president got caught and he had to kind of give up the money. It wasn't because the lack of trying on his part. It was that, you know, he was being exposed for what he was doing.
The other count. So there's that. And then the other count is that the president hasn't been as forthright as the House would like in either handing them documents or encouraging administration members or former staff members to testify. And since that's a power that the Congress has, the president's lack of cooperation in his impeachment is, in fact, an impeachable offense. He's impeding the constitutional flow of government. That's the Congress's job. So it's kind of a catch-22 for him, but that comes back to the Ukraine call.
Well, it does. He released a transcript of the Ukraine call, as he points out, but that's all he's released. In response to subpoenas and requests for information, he has defied the Congress. He has blocked, as you put it, his current and former aides, some of them, from testifying. The House Democrats will tell you they haven't gotten a single page of documents that they've asked for. And you're right, that does go to the heart of the Congress's power. Now, we might normally see them litigate that, go to court and say, okay, is the president right to claim some kind of immunity, or is he wrong? And but they've decided not to because the courts will take too long, in their view. It could drag out for months.
You can read Peter Baker's work in the New York Times. He's the chief White House correspondent there. Their annotated description, December 10th, of the articles and what the various sentences mean. Very helpful. It's a quick read, and I just thought it was terrific. Thanks for your time today, Peter.
Oh, thanks very much. Good talking to you.
You betcha.